Jewish Women Oral History Project. This is June 23rd, 1997. We are interviewing Milton H. Selznick. This is Shirley Stolzer and Judy Rubenstein interviewing. Welcome, Mr. Selznick.
Thank you.
We are sitting in the living room of your niece and nephew, Frankie and Alan Lefkowitz. When were you born?
My name is Milton Selznick, and I live now in Greensburg at 464 Mount Thor Road. I was born January the 5th, 1906, in Pittsburgh.
Mm-hmm. When did your parents arrive in Pittsburgh?
My parents, both from Russia.
Mm-hmm. What part of Russia?
Komnia, I would think, is close. It's Lithuania more now, I think, mm-hmm. now. The map has changed so much. My mother came over with our dad at 11. She's 11 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And then they brought the family over.
What was your mother's name?
Hazel.
And her last name?
Oh, her first name is Ann.
Mm-hmm.
And Hazel was the family name.
P-A-Z-O-L.
Uh-huh. And my dad...
Well, excuse me, just 1 minute. How did they come to Pittsburgh? For what reason?
Well, they didn't come to Pittsburgh originally. Mm-hmm. They went to Cleveland.
Mm-hmm.
But my dad's brother, who incidentally, if it's of any interest, was the father of... David O. Selznick, that made Gone with the Wind.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So David O. Selznick is your...
He's my cousin.
First cousin.
Yeah.
Okay.
If he's dead, I'm still living.
Hey! about what year did your mother's family come to the United States?
No.
Excuse me, you finished telling us how he came to Pittsburgh.
Yeah, let me tell you how they got here. It was true that my dad's brother had jewelry stores in Pittsburgh.
Mm-hmm.
The Knickerbocker Jewelry Company was at Wood and Fifth.
Mm-hmm.
That was one of them. They had several stores. And he brought my dad and another brother, David Selznick, another David Selznick, down to Pittsburgh to work in the store with them. Mm-hmm. You put them by them in the jewelry business. So they had several stores on, right in the heart of town, and Liberty Avenue and, mm-hmm. and Smithfield Street. And if I remember very distinctly, on the Liberty Avenue store, the barber shop next door, and one of those little fruit stores on the other side that sold hot chestnuts right out on Liberty Avenue, mm-hmm. where you go now and see all the development.
So there were two stores, one on Liberty and Smithfield, and one on Wood and Fifth?
Wood and Fifth was the Knickerbocker Jewelry Company. The other stores were independent. I think the boys ran them themselves. But I'm sure, I remember the one on Smithfield. I remember I was very young then. One of the things you remember when you're maybe 4 or 5 years old is my dad taking me into the barber shop on Liberty Avenue that had 12 or 15 barbers working in there.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't want my dad to leave me with all that excitement and everything. That was in my mind at 4 or 5 years old. That's about as far back as my memory go, although I had some very interesting things that happened as a child. Now, that would be 1909 or 1910, and we had cars. The family always had automobiles, but we also had horses, and we had kept them in the carriage houses where we lived. It was very common. So you have tea, you still didn't give up the horses, and my dad used to race horses anyway at Shenley Oval, and so it was quite
your
it was both a hobby. Yeah, it was a hobby with him.
Uh-huh.
Had he done that in Europe at all?
No, he was too young. Because he was, I remember him telling me a story about sleeping in a boxcar when he came over here and his coat froze to the floor of the boxcar in the wintertime. And he had to pee on it to get to thaw it out, thaw the ice so he could get his coat off. But
was this in the boat or in
no,
the train?
No. This was right in this country. And I went to Cleveland. And I think, now that you mention it, I can mention that my mother, as a very young girl, worked sewing shirts, making men's shirts. And my dad rolled cigars. That was their first jobs over here. And that was in Cleveland before they came to Pittsburgh.
When did your dad come to Cleveland about?
Well, if he was 13, you know, you'll have to figure it out for yourself. But he didn't know his birthday. And he did tell me that he remembered that he was 13 years old during the Johnstown flood. So if you want to look that up, you can find out exactly when he came here.
Was that 1899? I'm not sure. We'll check that out. Okay. He was 13.
He was 13 at the time of the Johnstown flood.
And that's when he came here.
So apparently it was a few years later. He was a man old enough to go in business, whatever it was, probably 18 or so.
What was your father's name?
Saul. Just S-O-L. Was Saul.
And did you know your grandparents at all?
No, my dad's father I didn't know at all. I never met him or his mother's. He was he was married three times and had 13 children. So my dad was one of the first mother. There were seven from the first mother. The second mother there were two. You can figure out the rest. I think it was put before, so if that comes up to 13, I'm exactly right. The last one he married, this is very interesting. He was in about 62 or 63, and he married a 19-year-old young lady. A redhead, incidentally. The children have red hair.
Wow. And then they lived in Lithuania.
And all very... No, it was Russia. It was a part of that, yeah. And they were trying to escape like everybody else. I guess you see Fiddler on the Roof, and you know the whole story. And they were trying to get out of the army. I do remember my mother saying that she remembered crossing a river when they were escaping and hearing gunshots. That's about as much as I know about it, because she lived in the future all the time. She very seldom talked about the past her whole life, and she lived till she was 79 years old.
Now, was your mother the offspring of the fourth?
No, my father was the offspring of the first.
Oh, of the first one.
Yeah.
Did the other... wives die? Or
did yes. people do, Yes, there were no divorces. Yes, they die or you kill them to get rid of them. But yes, they died. No, the last one, the young one, she lived a long time and had four lovely children, and the whole family are very close, even to this day.
So your father had three brothers, is that it?
Well, four brothers. He had, let me see, there was L.J., Dave, and himself. Were there just three boys and four girls?
Oh, Dave and Selznick was your father?
Just another Dave.
Right, okay. The producer was, how was he related?
He was my cousin. He was L.J., the oldest brother.
Okay.
Son, his son.
So your father was the first of the seven of that marriage?
No. No, L.J. was older than my father, but the father of David O. was older than my father. And I don't know if he was the oldest, though. It might have been a woman the oldest. But they lived for a long time. The men didn't live very long. This was very interesting. They lived, they died in their 60s. The women lived into their 90s.
Even then?
Yes, even then. Well, it was not... That
not,
was
these
fairly
wi- not these wives.
Yes. They were sisters of my...
Oh.
But my dad.
Oh, okay.
They're sisters of my dad.
Then you're from a strong line.
Well, on the women's side. And on my mother's side, I'm very strong on. They all lived long.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, they all lived long.
How many were in her family, Mr.
Sosa? Five children.
She was one of five.
One of five.
Do you recall her parents' names?
Well, their first names, no, you have to look that up. Alan knows.
Alan is.
He has a history there.
Mm-hmm.
Family tree.
Now, did they all come at once, her family?
Well,
she said she was about 11 when they
She was 11 with her dad. She was the oldest.
Right.
And then he brought the others over.
I see.
Mm-hmm. The rest of his family over. Mm-hmm. Went to Cleveland. He was very religious.
Your father?
No,
grandpa.
My grandfather. My mother's father was very religious. He wasn't a rabbi, but he was a teacher. He was a
lama.
I guess you'd say that. And then he financed the others that came over. They bought huckster wagons and horses and went into business in Cleveland. So he really did very well.
Uh-huh.
And when he died, he died on a ship going, after all his children were raised and families, going back to Israel.
To Israel?
Yes.
He always wanted to go?
And my mother, and he left took all his money with him.
Uh-huh.
He left each of the children $1, I think, keeping from suing a food. But on the way over here, my mother told a story that was interesting. In the boat, there were a lot of Jewish people. And they carried potatoes. And they caught herring on a boat. They were allowed. The captain let them. And loaned them a cauldron for him to cook it in. Uh-huh. He prepared it for them. The herring and the potatoes. And they had the kosher.
Oh, my.
On the boat. Way over. So I really didn't know them all that well. These are just stories I got from my mother.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
By the way, you would enjoy Staten, go to the, where did they bring them in New York?
Staten Island.
Because
well, they came in through.
Right, they give this kind of history.
Ellis Island, of the
herring and potatoes.
Oh, did they?
Because they wanted everybody who kept kosher to be able to keep kosher. It's interesting that your mother remembered that.
You never heard that story, did you?
Yeah, you should. Have you been to Ellis Island? He would love it because it's all this story that he's telling us, very similar stories. I'm sorry, go ahead.
That's okay. So you don't remember your grandfather's name?
The first name.
Okay.
Yeah.
We'll get
that. Yes. Have we do have the papers, the citizen papers for my dad's father.
Uh-huh.
Over here. His name was William.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. That was on my dad's side. My mother's side, I don't know. It may
Now, your siblings, do you consider all 13
as your brothers and sisters,
or mostly the ones? Well,
they're all my uncles and aunts. That's 13 are my uncles and aunts. These are my grandfather's family. They're all my father's.
Okay, now how many children did your parents have?
Five.
Okay.
Five of us.
Okay, and their names were?
Frankie's mother-in-law, Will Lefkowitz,
a
younger sister, not younger than me, but the youngest of the girls, was Rhoda Luxenberg.
Uh-huh.
She's still living.
Uh-huh.
She's older than me.
She lives in Pittsburgh?
90, no, she lives in Los Angeles.
Okay.
And my older sister was never married, and she died when she
What was her name?
Helen.
Mm-hmm.
Funny, a little hard for me to say that.
Yeah.
She died rather young.
Uh-huh.
Cancer in those days. There was no
treat.
Yes.
Is Lil Lefkowitz in Pittsburgh?
Lil's not living anymore.
Oh, shit.
Mm-hmm. That's Mr. Allen's mother.
Uh-huh.
Well, like it.
So there was another party, named three of the girls.
And I had a younger brother, Jerome. So.
And what number were you?
I was the first boy of the three girls,
uh-huh.
And that tells a story too, because mm-hmm. I was born on January the 5th. And my dad was so elated at having a boy that he had this enormous bris, which I was always mad about. Everybody I met for years and years, that I met people that said, "Oh, I was at your bris," and I said, "Gee, you could have given me that money when I was 21. And he took me outside to show off in this cold weather. I haven't liked the winter since.
Is your younger brother living?
No, he died years ago. And he
so it's two of you now left of your five sisters.
Yes.
You and your sister.
Yeah. Sister
mm-hmm. So where in Pittsburgh were you born? Where did your family live then?
It's a little vague in my mind. The very first, the house I was born in and the five children probably were born in, I think was on Heron Hill. Now, that was a residential section, a very
right.
fine residential section, because we had a carriage house at that particular house because, very interesting story, I met, or I had a babysitter, a black man that was a groom.
Mm-hmm.
And he was sober most of the time. But he was a wonderful man. I remember him very well, too. And he would take me for rides in the carriage with this team of horses, this fine team of horses. And they would dress me up, and they had these little sailor hats that you wore. And we were going through Shenley Park. I remember distinctly, I could have been 3 or 4 years old at the most. And the team, it was a cool day, and the team was very frisky. And my hat blew off in Shenley Park between what is now Bartlett and the bottom of the hill, Panther Hollow, the Panther Hollow Bridge. And that, imagine the traffic we have today, thousands and thousands of cars a day, probably 20,000 or maybe 15,000 cars a day go there. And that time, no cars. And when my hat blew off, he couldn't get it because he couldn't let go of the team. So we had a circle there until somebody came along on foot to pick up the hat and hand it to him. And the circle that we made there was right in front of the entrance to what would be 30 years later my riding stable.
Like it was destined.
Yes, for shared.
Yeah.
And then he went down to Oakland. This is part of it, I think, is interesting. To Oakland Avenue. There was a stable on Oakland Avenue about 4 or 5 doors from Forbes. A riding stable. Yeah, remember the name, McLean's. I remember that. I don't even know. But anyway, the Plains Riding Stable, and they rented horses there, and they rode through Oakland, past Forbes Field with all the crowds, and had these horses on a baseball game, and passed to the Phipps Conservatory, which was there then, and then picked up the trail there at that particular time.
So the trail that you
could ride a horse right in Oakland through all that and the baseball game and all. And that's just a short one lifetime. You know, of course, that's almost 4 generations. In fact, there was one of the friends of mine. He was older than me, and he was a superintendent of the police force in Pittsburgh. And later, I trained the police horses, got them used to the traffic, and taught the horsemen, taught some of the officers how to ride. And he said he could drive down with a horse and buggy right down Fifth Avenue, past Kaufman's, and pull in to the curb, head first with the horse and buggy, and park there all day long. Well, that was that
for
close
free.
At time.
For
free.
For free.
For free.
No parking
meters.
Nobody
bothered.
That's interesting.
one of the things that was outstanding in my young life, very young life, in those days we had these, my dad always had these big touring cars. Now a touring car was like a convertible, excepting it was seven passenger. And we filled it, five kids and two parents. And they would go down to Fifth and Avenue on Logan Street, around that area, you know all about that.
Yes, I remember that.
And shop on Thursday night. And that was a show. We sat in the car, we never got out of the car, and the pavements were just four or five deep, constantly, with people. It was a constant show. And then they went shopping to these different shops, and always kosher places, and we loaded up with food enough for the next week. So every Thursday, that was a ritual. They went to everybody went to Logan Street. We met everybody that you knew. At that time, I think we were members of the Tree of Life on Craft Avenue. And that became later the Pittsburgh Playhouse.
Right.
These things
I belonged there also. Well, we went to Logan Street on Sunday mornings.
Oh, did you really?
Uh-huh.
And of course, that's all moved to Squirrel Hill now, right?
Right.
Then later...
Where did you say the Tree of Life was at that time?
On Craft Avenue.
Craft Avenue.
Yeah. Just...
I remember her family from there.
Sure.
You remember? Because my grandfather supposedly was one of the founders of the
Tree. Well, there you are. Oh, sure.
Were they conservative, Mr. Sullivan?
Then that was...
conservative.
It was conservative there, but then we transferred. Why, I don't know. My mother's doing... to Road of Shalom. At that time, the rabbi was Dr. Levy. You know, I did at the time.
Mm-hmm. At Road of Shalom.
At Road of Shalom, yes.
Mm-hmm.
And I just recently, a couple of weeks ago, went to my 75th confirmation class. Had this
reunion.
The 75th. That meant everybody there had to be 90, and I was 91. I think I was born in January, so I think I was a year older than a lot.
Were there many people there?
Her mother was one of the confirmants.
Well, my mother was in his class.
She was in that class.
I wrote of Shalom.
And there was close to 100, if it wasn't over 100.
Wow.
That class was under Dr. Goldenson, whom I became very friendly with, because he was interested in business, and we had a business on Baum Boulevard, and he would come visit, spend time with me.
What did he teach, Goldenson?
Goldenson was a rabbi there. He was a rabbi at Road of Shalom.
Oh,
at the time we were confirmed.
But you said there were 100 people in your
class? Close to 100 people in the class, close to 100, within 90 to 100. And there's still...
And so that you were confirmed.
Still, I think, 14 of them left.
Wait a minute, so if you were born in 1906, the confirmation class would be 1922?
Well, yeah, whatever, you just add
22?
Add 15 years.
Uh-huh.
It was 15 years.
Yeah, wow.
It'd be 21.
That was really, okay.
1921.
And you had 15 people show up at the conference?
No, 11.
Oh,
but
11.
There was the rest of the few of them that sent there.
What was it? Did you remember most of them?
Oh, very, very well. Oh,
uh-huh.
Surely.
Uh-huh.
I didn't feel as friendly towards them when I was young.
Right.
Later. Time does
you
that.
You were glad to be able to see each other now. Wow.
Yeah.
Did you have good recollections of confirmation class then, or not particularly?
Yes, because I was so little.
Uh-huh.
And I had a... To get myself in the picture, I had to do a little maneuver.
Oh.
Well, he still has the class picture.
That's great.
It was enormous. There's so many of them. You know, pick them out, who they were. But, yes, the ones that are left, of course.
Mm-hmm.
But none of them are in too good a shape. In fact, this little girl next to me, I'm trying to think of her name now. She did the work in a little girl, 91 years old. Yeah.
Did you practice Shabbat at your home? Did you observe Shabbat?
No, we really didn't. And that was a mistake. My mother kept a kosher house until the children were relatively grown, and we discouraged her from it. And we went to Road of Shalom then anyway. They had a snack bar on Yom Kippur then.
Oh, they did not know.
No exaggeration.
That we like to say about them, but they don't. Well, you had said that your mother's father was a religious person. That
yes.
He taught and he.
Yes.
But she evidently was not interested in that.
She kept the kosher house.
Yeah, right.
But we discouraged her from speaking Yiddish, which was one of the mistakes of my life, because later I became a salesman on the road around the tri-state area, and every merchant that I visited was Jewish, and they all spoke Yiddish and embarrassed the devil out of me. And oddly enough, in late life, I remember the Yiddish sayings, and I can even figure out what they meant. For example, one, I remember my mother, some of the expressions of the mother saying, Sha Sha the Rebbe Gate.
Mm-hmm. That's a nice song, too.
Well, you know what that means in my... What I... Yes. But I tried to define, to figure out what that meant, and I got a definition of it while I was cleaning a horse stall.
Oh.
All these things come to me while I'm using a pick and shovel. It's a wonderful way to think. And Sha Sha the Rebbe Gate, to me, finally meant the moil had already left and didn't have anything to cry about. Does that sound right?
No.
Well, that was my own...
No, it was respect for the rabbi. Don't talk because he's coming in.
The gate is gone.
No, go. Go. The gate is gone. Not necessarily pass. But that's all right.
Okay, but mine
is
better.
I like
my definition. Yes.
You like yours. You like yours.
All right, so your father had your home. Was it a large home?
I don't remember that home. I don't remember that at all.
Okay.
That was where I was born. And incidentally, I remember the doctor's name, a little red-headed doctor named Dr. Finkelperl.
Uh-huh.
You can remember it easier than you can say it. And he had all five children and born in the house.
Uh-huh.
And of course, I guess all, none of them were bottle fed.
Was it a large home that had a carriage house, or did many homes have a carriage house in those
days? I don't remember
that
home. The first house I remember was on Craig Street, between 5th and Center. They were all big houses there. On the one side, they're all now used for businesses. They were 14 and 16 room houses, and they were hard to heat. So I remember distinctly that the people all met, especially the neighbors would come into each other, and stay all entertained in the kitchen because it was warm.
Mm-hmm.
I remember a family by the name of Cohen. They had an awful lot of children. I guess they're still around. And they lived two or three doors up from us. They were in the shoe business, if I remember correctly. And although then, what would I be? Maybe 7 or 8. And at night when you visited the Cohens, everybody in the kitchen, there may be these enormous kitchens, maybe 10 or 14 people there with their children. But the Cohens, when their children fell asleep, they had this big piece of furniture with all these big drawers in it, the linens and things. They just opened the drawer and put the kids to sleep there until they went upstairs in the other parts of the house. I remember that distinctly. They did put the kids in a drawer and put them away. That was one of the things that I remember. Later, I was old enough to go to school, and we went to school from Craig Street, I mentioned, to Osceola Street. Now, we walked there, and I imagine now that's a mile and a half.
What school did you go to?
Osceola School.
Okay.
Osceola Street, Don Boulevard, Bond Boulevard. Mm-hmm. It's quite a ways. I wouldn't know now. I'd have to drive it to see how far it is. But we'd go up and over Center and then over to Baum and down Baum to Osceola Street, this little school there. That was, I guess that was the first school that I went to.
And did you walk with your brothers and sisters? Or
with my brother.
Mm-hmm.
I led my brother all the time. He was 3 years younger than me. I don't know. I guess he was in kindergarten. Well, I don't know if he went to school, but that's the way I walked around with him. I don't think he was in school quite then. But I held my hand on his neck, and I guided him when he was wee little. And nobody ever bothered you or anything. It's the safest it could be.
May I just check one thing? You had said that your mother kept kosher.
For a while.
For a while, not the whole time while you were.
She kept kosher. I don't remember exactly when she stopped, but I think it was the children's influence, the girls' influence. And they made her speak English. She didn't go to school, because she came here when she was 11, but she learned to read from the ads in the papers, because they had pictures.